Greetings, everyone. Open your Bibles now to Proverbs 22, and we'll be there in a moment for you, but open there and be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along and take notes. I do want to remind you of one more announcement. Tonight we'll be having the Lord's Supper, and you want to be preparing your heart for that, and that you can get all that God intended for us in the gathering together to do it in remembrance of Him. This morning I'm going to be dealing with a subject that everybody has an opinion on and not everybody is correct on it, and that is, how do you raise children and what's your position on disciplining of children? Proverbs speak a lot to the subject. And so, in your outline, I have the outline plus the verses on the back for you. So if you want to go back and forth, I had you go to 22 because I think that's the key, most important aspect to understand this topic. We will deal with that when we get to point number two. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, ask Him to help us. Father, we come before You thanking You for Your grace and Your goodness. We are thankful that we can live, that we live in a world that You have left us with truth and guidelines and principles and how to have our families function. And they're all rooted and based on reality, the truth. What is really going on, not what we perceive, not what we see, not what we think, not what we feel, but things that are far beyond the sight of eyes, but the fruit and the aspect of it is painfully obvious. And yet we seem to want to fix that problem our way. Or we listen to the people of this world who are clueless to this reality and how all about the discipline of children in the home and why it's important and vital and critical in our subject of pursuing wisdom, living a life that fears the Lord, living a life walking in the path of uprightness, integrity, and righteousness. It all begins in the home with parents doing their duty. And so, Lord, many may balk and be resistive of this teaching, but Lord, may they hear all that You have to say regarding it, and may we realize that Your way is the way that honors You and brings the fruit that promised what You promised. So, Lord, we ask, guide us, lead us for Your glory, our edification and learning and blessing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When parents fail to instruct their children in the way of discipline and correction, children will then teach themselves. Since indwelling sin and foolishness are the dominant principles in everyone, that lead to a life of folly and away from God and wisdom. Parents have a great responsibility to train their children in the fear of the Lord and in the path of righteousness. Remember, we are studying Proverbs, and these principles that we have here are not ultimate and infallible promises. We dealt with that in detail when we started this series. And yet so many people just assume all of these are promises and infallible rules. These are general guidelines and principles for life that had the blessing of God on it. Also remember that the best training and teaching cannot instill wisdom, but only encourage a desire for it, the importance of it, the value of it. At the end of the day, that child needs to accept, and without a doubt, we also need the work of the Holy Spirit within. In Proverbs alone, we have learned, even with the wonderful truths about parenting and the blessings if we do it His way, you can still have children that grow up too opinionated to learn. Proverbs 13:1. A good home may even raise up a sluggard. Proverbs 10:5. Or have children that become wasteful and careless. Proverbs 29:3. Or have a child that despises, mocks, and curses their parent. That is all in here in Proverbs as well. There are two very important words that we need to be aware of in the way of the introduction before we get into the body of the three-point outline, and that is the word instruction. Too many people want to just simply read that word from an English translation standpoint, from a English Webster dictionary standpoint. But the word is a special Hebrew word that means to discipline. It means to correction that leads to learning. It had this word instruction. This Hebrew word was used 30 times out of 50 in the book of Proverbs. That means 60% of the time that this word was used, it was used in this one book, Proverbs, and about instruction that comes about through chastening, discipline, or let me put it in words that you do understand, spanking. The word, this very Hebrew word translated also in Proverbs, which translated chastening, correction, and discipline. It said, my son, in Proverbs 3:11, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. The word chastening is the same word here as instruction. One of the key points about raising children and discipline of children is that you must not simply discipline apart from instruction. You discipline and you help them by instructing them the correct way to go and the way they ought to go. You don't simply correct and call it good. And we'll deal with more of that in the later. Proverbs 13, verse 18, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction. Same Hebrew word. Proverbs 13, 24, he who spared his rod hates his son, but he who loved him disciplined him properly. The word discipline, same Hebrew word. The other word is the word correction. This is more on verbal rebuke and reproof and or being reproved. The Bible speaks a lot to the duty of parent to give reproof when their child is going wayward and off course and being disobedient. You need to rebuke them. You need to reprove them. You need to confront them on where they deviated from the path of God's way. And children need to be teachable and accepted and respond to that in a favorable way that will help them in the end, day by day, to live a life in the fear of the Lord and walking in the paths of righteousness. Before we get into point number one. What does the rod of correction do? Proverbs 29, verse 15 says this, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So it says here clearly, before we even get into all the thoughts and opinions of disciplining children, we as Christians, we must give God the first and the authoritative word. And it is this, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. Everything we've been learning about in Proverbs all point to the fact, in all you're getting, get wisdom. Pursue wisdom. You, without the fear of the Lord, you cannot have wisdom. It begins with the fear of the Lord. It begins with the fact that we honor Him and follow His path. The rod and the rebuke and the teaching and the instruction that comes along must be there. That's what God said. It said, but a child left to themselves, they bring shame. God said that the rod of correction imparts wisdom. Now, you might look and try to analyze it from your limited, finite mind and say, well, you know, I don't see where that connects. Well, let me help you. I think God can see it where we may not. So it's best to heed what He had to say and what He said about the subject and live by faith in His Word rather than leaning on your own human reasoning. It The good verse in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Certainly would apply here. The rest of the verse tells us what happens when you do not administer the necessary discipline. The child will be left to themselves, and this will bring shame. The child who does not submit to parental authority, the Bible makes it clear in Proverbs and throughout, is a fool. We all know that chastening is never easy, either from the parent perspective or the child. Even Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 said this, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. That verse speaks a lot and gives us a lot of stuff that would help us understand the importance and the value of disciplining our children and children receiving discipline when they have erred. So what is the rod of correction? I like what Ted Tripp said in his book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. His definition, rather lengthy, but I think it's good. Listen carefully. The definition of the rod of correction is a parent in faith toward God and faithfulness toward his or her children, undertaking the responsibility, listen, of careful, timely, measured, controlled use of physical punishment to underscore the importance of obeying God, thus rescuing the child from continuing in his foolishness until death. So I'm going to break that up. This is a parental duty. This is a parental responsibility. This is a parental exercise. These are the parent duty and responsibility. It is done in the act of faith. You're taking God at his word. God said, this is what you do. This is what you need to do. And by faith, you need to act upon that. As a child of God, you as a parent need to trust what God says here. What are you doing? You are wanting to faithfully minister to your children, doing it knowing that it will produce good fruit. That's what we just learned in Hebrews chapter 12. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. The act of faithfulness is faithfulness toward their children. You are being faithful to your children, recognizing that discipline. When you discipline, there is hope. And you are saying, I refuse to be part of my child's undoing by my lack of dealing with them in the way of discipline or rebuking or correction. Fail to spank would be unfaithful to their souls. It is physical punishment. The rod is the careful, timely, measured, controlled use of physical punishment. The rod is never venting of parental anger or frustration on the child. That's wrong. That's sin. And it's viewed as a rescue mission. Why? Because you are trying to recover them from taking the path of sin and foolishness, which will lead ultimately and can lead to premature death and ultimately can lead to spiritual death as well. We must discipline clearly with compassion, love, and instruction. But before I go any farther, let me correct many of the misuses of the rod of correction. I'll tell you what it is not, what the Bible does not embrace and teach. Number one, it is never right to minister correction in anger. That is wrong. You never minister correction out of anger. Number two, it's never okay to hit your children whenever you want. This is not a blanket freedom to do that. It is to do something else, and I'll explain that in a moment. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 said this, Father, do not provoke your children, let they become discouraged. The word discouraged also can be translated, become bitter. Why? Because you're taking this thing farther than God ever intended. Number three, do not use the rod or thinking to vent out your frustration. And number four, it is never to be used, listen carefully, as punishment. You're not spanking your child because you're punishing them. It is not retribution for the child's wrongdoing. That's why God called it the rod of correction. The rod is to help correct the child, not punish them. We are to help our child. As the parent, we need to know the way. We need to know the path of wisdom. We know the path of fear of the Lord. And when our children disobey and go off to the side, clearly the definition that Tripp gave was that we disobey God, not you. God is the highest authority, and we all should be working and leading a life towards His direction. So the key is to help your child to follow that path. So the rod of is the rod of correction, not punishment. Yet it produces pain. There's a reason for it. Pain produces change. It is correct. It is right to correct and restore the child, but never to punish them. Now that we have cleared up some of the misuse of spanking, let us talk about the next thing that we need to talk about, and that is, why do many refuse, even Christians, to use God's means of helping their children gain wisdom and avoid the pitfalls of folly? Why do so many so-called Christians refuse to do this, what the Bible clearly states needs to be done? Number one, here's one reason why. I love my children too much to spank them. Let me give you a verse. Proverbs 13:24. He who spared the rod hates his son. You don't love them by not spanking them. You hate them by not spanking them. Those are strong words, but it's pretty hard to miss the message. But he who loved him disciplined him promptly. And when we get to point number two, it all will make sense. But I had to lay a foundation. But the question is, who really benefits from not spanking an unruly child? Fail to correct the child, put that child at risk to lead a life of sin. So who benefits? Well, the parents do. They are delivered from the discomfort of spanking their child. You are delivered from the inconvenience and the time that biblical discipline required. At what expense? The child's soul. It is important to understand this is vital. And if we're going to live a path of wisdom, and you know this book was geared for young people, it also had parents in mind to get into the God program to help them in that path. And one of them is this very subject we're talking about. It's not about simply providing, putting a roof over their head, putting food on the table, taking them on good vacation. It is helping them to prepare why they even exist in this life. To live for the glory of God, our Creator. Number two, I'm afraid I will hurt them. I realize, I've been at it long enough, I realize some people had it, some real bad memories of strong authoritarian discipline that really was more abuse than correction. I understand, I sympathize with that. But we cannot rule out the fact that there is a proper way to do it that does not reflect that. When that happens, it's usually done when the parent had uncontrollable anger. And that is not the biblical concept of discipline. That's child abuse. Uncontrollable anger, leeching out and venting your frustration is wrong. That is not a teaching moment. That is a bad memory moment that sometimes is seared on their mind forever. We need to be careful. This is a real thing. They either did it out of uncontrollable anger, or they did it as a punishment and not in love, with correction, instruction, and guidance in mind. Usually it punish, get out of my sight. Don't do it again. That is not what we're talking about here. That is wrong. That's one of the reasons why some people don't, because they had it done wrong to them, so they just don't do it at all, instead of trying to find out the biblical model and pattern. So if you're afraid that you're going to hurt them, let me give you Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Might sound like he's dying. He may like you to think you are killing him, but you're not. Verse 14, you shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Number three, I'm afraid it will make him rebellious and angry. Proverbs teaches the opposite. Proverbs 29, verse 17, correct your son and he will give you rest, and yet he will give you delight to your soul. Why? Because you helped them and you made sure you're not on my watch going to go AWOL and me not deal with it. You're not going to get out of line without me doing my duty before God Almighty and to the good of your soul to let you get away with it while you're in my home. When you channel that child, they respond as they should, and they yield to the correction, and they are taught and trained by it using Hebrews 12:11 language, they will be an absolute blessing to your soul. When a parent corrects their child in love for the good of their soul and help them to understand to disobey God had penalties, it produces children who will bring joy and delight to you. Fourth reason why some people don't do it, it doesn't work. I tried it, doesn't work. I've heard that, my goodness. This happens when parents don't do it biblically. They failed to work for the following reason. One, maybe they did spank out of anger. Number two, maybe they are inconsistent. They did it one time, didn't do it for two times, did it a couple more times. They weren't consistent. Inconsistency speaks you're not serious. You're not taking serious your role and your duty here. Or they failed to persist and did not do it long enough and persistent enough for it to bear fruit. Or it failed to be effective. And what I mean by that is sometimes they went through the motions of it, but the child felt nothing. I remember the story one time, a child being disciplined by their parent, and when the parent got done, the parent turned around and looked at it. Is that all you got? If discipline is going to work, it needs to be felt. It needs to say, this is not worth it. You go this way, you're going to get dealt with. You need to stay on the path and help them to develop moral strength from within. Nothing does it better than biblical correction. Remember Hebrews 12:11 again. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present. If there's ever a time I think, there's an obvious. There's never been a time where I took great delight when I got disciplined. But I can attest to the fact that it is painful, but it will bring fruit. Can bring fruit if you let it teach you and train you. Number five, and this is a legitimate concern, but we need to think it through. I'm afraid of being arrested for child abuse. This is a major validity. This has a major validity to it, although it is not illegal to spank your children, but child abuse is. A properly administered spanking is not abusive. To do it biblically speaking with compassion and love, not out of anger, using the definition, time, careful discipline of the ministering of the discipline, is not one out of anger. We live in a world, however, that blurred the line between biblical spanking and abuse, and we need to be careful with that. And in light of that, spanking should be done in the privacy of the home, and I do not recommend, I think it's totally unwise, to spank in public. Go home and take care of it. We live in a world that's not sympathetic to this, and there are reasons, and I'm not going to get into the political reason. I'm giving you biblical reason and what our goals are and what God had laid out for us. So having established all of that, point number two. Why is discipline necessary? You should be open in your Bible to Proverbs 22. Look at verse 15, please. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. We live in a world that believes that we are born neutral or inherently good. Neither one of them is correct. The Bible is explicitly clear. We are born with a sin nature. We are born with sinful impulses. We are born from the moment coming out of our mother's womb. We are wicked. We don't like to see that. We don't like to pretend. But let's have good theology and apply our theology to what it's to life. This idea of thinking that they are morally born neutral or good is meaning that children are all born ethically and morally neutral or good. And if that's the case, they don't need correction. They just need a little bit of direction. Or they don't need discipline, they need instruction. Certainly children, beloved, need instruction. They need direction. But is their most basic problem a lack of information and instruction? Are all of their problems gone once they learn a few things? You know that ain't true. And anybody who's ever been a parent knows that after you tell your children for the 100th time, they still do it. What did the Bible say? What did God say about it? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And don't give me that, I believe that true for people like Hitler and people like that. No, this is speaking of every man, woman, and child coming into this world. The heart is deceitful above everything and desperately wicked. So much so, I don't even know the depth of the deception and wickedness in my own heart. To deny that is to deny the fundamental reality of the sinful impulses within our hearts. Psalm 51, verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. The Bible says there are no innocent children born into this world. You look at them and all you look at is did raisin, beautiful bundle of joy when they first come out. The point is, children are not born morally and ethically good. There are things within the heart, even the sweetest, most docile baby, that if allowed to go unchecked and blossom in life, will bring about a life of sin and an eventual destruction of their life. That's the fact, and that's what the Bible teaches. And we need to be careful that we don't neglect our duty as parents to teach our kids and correct our kids when they got off the path. Beloved, these needs cannot be met by mere talk. No timeout will curb the folly and sin in their heart. No amount of standing in the corner or being grounded from something they enjoy will ever change the foolishness bound in their heart. These are good things, and they're youthful things in their place, in their time, but they never, never can replace spanking. Bible teaches that here. Proverbs makes it clear. D. These things are good, but they must never replace spanking or to remove the foolishness in the heart. What does it say? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction. It didn't say corner. It didn't say quiet time. It didn't say have a discussion. It didn't say grounding them. It said correction will drive it far from him. God said that it is the rod of correction. Not the rod of punishment. Not the rod of I'm frustrated. It's time I got to deal with you because you're out of line and you need to deal with it. Instruct them, love them, pray with them, and move on. What God is saying here, there's something fundamentally, inherently wrong in the heart of a child. And that, well, who are we as adults, nothing more than children who have grown up with the same problem in our hearts? This foolishness must be removed, for it placed the child at risk. We're not talking about childishness. Kids do childish things. I'm talking about rebellion. I'm talking about breaking the rules. I'm talking about getting outside of God's design and purpose for life, disobeying God. Children do children things. One commentator said, they do spill milk, and you might as well just get used to it. They'll spill gallons of it before they're done. But the point is, those are childish things, unless they look at you with the evil eye and say, ha ha, that's a different story altogether. But the point is, we're not talking about childishness. We do not discipline children for being children and doing childish mistakes, even when it's inconvenient or even frustrating. We are patient. The word foolishness, this is the key word. That word foolishness was used 25 times in the Old Testament, 22 of those times in Proverbs. He is dealing over and over and over with the foolishness that's bound in the human heart, starting when they are born. There is another Hebrew synonym that it translated the same word, foolishness, in our English translation. It was used 19 out of the 26 times in Proverbs, 26 times in the Old Testament. So 80% of the time between those two words, 80% of the time it's used in Proverbs alone, a lot of it centers around the exhortation to stay away from foolishness and folly, or exhorting parents to help root this out. The word defined, the word foolish means you are rejecting wisdom, biblical wisdom. It showed moral disrespect. It is, you're kind of a quarrelsome toward authority. Proverbs 5, verse 22 and 3. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for the lack of instruction. The word instruction means correction learning from him. And in the greatness of his folly, the same word, foolishness, folly, he will go astray. Clearly we got in that picture. He had some serious problem. If that child is left to go unchecked and that foolishness begins to blot them and flourish by the time they're teenagers, it takes the miracle of the new birth to harness that. Proverbs 12, verse 23. Now what we're going to look at is several verses that speak to this foolishness all throughout Proverbs. Listen carefully. Proverbs 12, 23. But the heart of fools proclaim foolishness. Proverbs 13, 16. But a fool laid open his folly. Proverbs 14, 24. But the foolishness of fools is folly. Proverbs 15, verse 14. But the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. Proverbs 17:12, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cub rather than a fool in his folly. And yet parents who won't correct their children is allowing folly to happen all throughout their home, throughout their time. And it said right there, it is better for you to try to pick up a cub with a mother bear in present. And if you've ever known the nightmare story of the mama bear coming after anybody who tried to hurt their cub, it doesn't end well. The mother bear always wins. Unless you meet a fourth grader than it, such as a gun. But the point is, it's better to face that than a fool in their folly. Proverbs 19, verse 3, the foolishness of man twisted his way and his heart fretted against the Lord. When you allow folly and foolishness to reign and reign supreme and gain foothold and grow and flourish, they are in contest to the Lord. Proverbs 24, verse 9, the dividing of foolishness is sin. We have that fun. That, you know, they're acting like kids. A lot of times it's plain old foolishness and it's wrong. And we need to realize that. So, beloved, the bottom line is folly and foolishness are used here to describe a person who has no fear of God, and we are all born with this lack of fear for God. None of us instinctively and naturally fear God. The fool is one who will not hear reproof or accept correction. The fool will not submit to authority that begins in their heart and then end up in their action. The fool is the one who dismisses God's way, even though they may be religious. They do not fear God. That's what we saw with the religious leaders with Jesus. They were religious people, but their heart was far from him. The fool is the one who dismisses God's way. Proverbs 1:29 and 30, we dealt with it, but it said this, and they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and they despised my every rebuke. What did the fool do? Fool lived for the moment of their desires, cravings, and expectation that come from their foolish heart. They want what they want, period. They question anything that goes contrary to their want and desire. That include parents, pastors, elders, and any other God-ordained authority. The question is, will the child live under the authority of God and therefore the authority of their parent, or under his authority and driven by their wants and passions? This folly and foolishness in their heart are what necessitates the need for the rod of correction. Ted Tripp said this, quote, this foolishness is bound up within his heart. Allowed to take root and grow to 14 or 15 years, it will produce a rebellious teenager who will not allow anyone to rule him, end quote. We've seen that parent, my child been good, so good. Boy, seems like when they hit that magic 12, 13, 14 years old, all of a sudden the fangs come out. The argument, confrontation, the fights. Let me say this also. Guilt tripping, manipulation, and trying to control externally their life will not change their heart either. One parent made a mistake one time here who was a member and said, I know how to keep my kids under control. And they pulled out their wallet and they said, I let them either have what's in here or not. I said, that's not the way you do it. You appeal to the heart and you shepherd their heart and let their heart be guided by God's word, not by manipulation, whether you're going to give them money or not, reward them or not, controlling them by finances or gifts. God has ordained the rod of discipline for this folly. the spanking prompted, undertaken biblically, drives foolishness from the heart of the child. When a parent faithfully uses the rod, they are using God-given remedy to dispel the foolishness in the heart. When in life of the child should it be ministered? When? When should I start this, Pastor? That's a very legitimate question. Let me give you some verses I think that will help. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loved him disciplined him promptly. The word promptly, when you study it, is a Hebrew word that has two meanings to it. It has the meaning of early and diligently. You don't wait. You start early. You start it early and you start at it and stay at it diligently. Here's another word, Proverbs 22, verse 15, the word that leads our point here. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, okay? The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 23, 13, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with the rod, he will not die. The reason why I brought those two verses up, it said folly and foolishness is already there in the heart of the child. If you recognize folly, deal with it. If you recognize sin and disobedience, you deal with it. There's no magic 2, 3, 5, whatever age. When you see it, deal with it. It said that the foolishness is already in their heart as a child. And the word child goes, it's a very generic term, starts all the way. It was translated throughout the Old Testament as a baby, as a young person, or a young man. All in the context of in the home. Proverbs 19, verse 18, chasten your son while there is hope. It's better to start early than late. Point number 3 in our outline. The fruit. What do we gain and get from this? What is the fruit and result of this? Proverbs 20, verse 30, blows that hurt chases away evil. Remember when I talked about one of the reasons why it doesn't work? It's because it's not effective. This said it needs the hurt for it to cleanse evil out. Proverbs 22, verse 15, the rod of correction will drive it far from him. What? Their foolishness. The fruit of correction is children will learn, they will reap what they sow. That is one of the fundamental principles you are trying to get across. You're not getting away with disobedience. And you need to do it so when they get out on their own, when they're under God's authority, but God had given us the responsibility while they're in the home. When they're out on their own, God deals with them. And you want them to respond to your authority, and that's why you do it biblically. You do it lovingly. You do it patiently. You do it never out of anger and frustration. And you always do it with instruction and correction in mind. That's how God deals with us when he chastens us. That's why it said in Proverbs 3, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. He's chastening you because you're his children. Hebrews 12 expands on that and gives it a really good exposition of Proverbs 3. Children need to learn they will reap what they sow. With uncomfortable consequences, they can learn that God had built the principle of sowing and reaping into their world. What are some of the blessed fruit of rightly administering the rod of correction, parents? Number one, it cleanses away evil. It will help them not to depart from the way they should go. Foolishness will be driven away. It will deliver them from premature death that is caused often by folly. We've dealt with a lot of those verses already. Well, your child will be a blessing and bring rest and delight to you. You will give your child wisdom. That was the very first verse I opened up with. But the sad and disastrous result of not doing your duty as a parent in chastening your children, they will live a life of sin. They'll choose the life of folly and foolishness. They will not be governed and guided by the fear of the Lord. Every day they live in folly deepens their foolishness in their hearts. They will lack wisdom needed to get through life. They will disgrace and humiliate their parents. Too often parents are more worried about having friends that their children as friends instead of being parents and realizing their duty before God and for their children. Now, I have done enough on the parents. Now I want to talk to the kids. My turn to talk to you young ones. Proverbs said much about your response to being disciplined and corrected. That the right response and the wrong response. Okay? When you receive and accept willingly to be trained and taught by the correction here, there are some blessings in store for you, such as when you accept and love correction, you will love knowledge, the right kind of knowledge. When you heed discipline, I'm taking these all out of Proverbs and summarizing them here for you. When you heed discipline, you are teachable and wise. When you regard being rebuked, you will be honored. If you receive instruction, you'll become careful, not careless, with your life. When you heed rebuke, you will gain understanding. When rightly respond to correction, when you rightly respond to the correction of your parents, you will be a delight and blessing to them. Proverbs 23:24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who beget a wise child will delight in him. But when you rebel and reject the correction of your parents, your life will be unpleasant and hard. And remember this, if you choose this path and you get its fruit, self-inflicted. You have no one to blame but yourself for this. When you refuse correction, you'll go astray. To hate correction, you are viewed by God as stupid. Proverbs 12, verse 1. When you will not listen to correction, you are unteachable. Not a good sign. To disdain correction, you will experience shame and poverty. To despise the parent instruction, you'll become careless. Hating correction can lead to premature death. You'll cease loving those who correct you. The Bible makes it clear that when your parents are constantly doing the right thing and you are constantly rebelling and resisting and rejecting their counsel, little by little you are killing your soul to love your parents and love those who correct you. You don't want that seed to start. When you resist correction, it keeps you from the wise. One of the common things is when you're unteachable, you don't go to the wise one that will help you stay on the right path. You will have the wrong friends and wrong company. All started in your heart by saying no. Or hardening your neck while you're being disciplined. To disdain instruction is to despise your own soul. When you will not heed rebuke, you will not gain understanding. When you do what is right in your own eyes, you will bring shame and humiliation to your parents. So the Bible is very clear in the book of Proverbs. Turn with me one last verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Here's another reason why discipline is so important. In light of everything that we've learned this morning already, you already got that foundation laid down. Ecclesiastes 8, this verse should be clear to you after all that we've learned, what the Bible teaches the problem is. Notice verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. When you don't discipline a child when they have done wrong, they will little by little harden themselves to be more determined in that path of disobedience and evil. This one obviously talking about the more hardened aspect, but how do you think they got hardened? It all started when they got away with it and or did not respond to it, or used in Hebrews 12:11, were not trained by it, refused to allow it to do what it does in correcting and helping. Oh, may we honor the Lord. I encourage everybody who had children that are grown up, pray for those who have children. It's never easy. We live in a world that makes it real hard, because the world is saying absolutely everything the opposite I've said. Our parents who have children still in their home and they're dealing with it on a day-to-day basis, they need wisdom, they need strength. Pray that their heart to their children will be soft to respond it to a way that honors God. Amen. Father, we pray. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Very tough but needed subject. If we do this by faith, trust what your word says, we can reap blessings untold. Dear God, do a work in the hearts of every one of us who have, to one degree or another, an element of folly and foolishness that need to continually be rooted out. Do a work in all of us, but especially our children, while they're developing and growing and maturing. May they understand their heart are broken and only God can fix it. May they realize their hearts are corrupt and only God can clean it and repair it. They must come to Him by faith alone and Christ alone. They must live each day for His glory and lean upon the Spirit of God to transform them into the likeness of Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.